Forgiveness sets us free. 6, don't ignore the signs you ask for. 7, before you have fun in the sun, follow the sun. 8, make God first. 9, why pray when you can worry? And finally, you will always be safe when your lifeguard walks on water. The title of this morning's message is, The King is Coming. The King is Coming. And it's taken from 2 Thessalonians. When Queen Elizabeth was just a little girl, her parents had a garden party on the palace grounds. Unfortunately, it began to rain, and so they all went inside. After a few minutes, Queen Elizabeth and her sister Margaret, both little girls, wandered into the room, and the crowd began to ask them a few polite questions. Then Elizabeth pointed up on the wall to a portrait of Jesus on the cross, and she said, "That's the man the Papa says is the real king." Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming back, and he's going to make all things right. Our key word is coming, and our key text is 2 Thessalonians 1:10. Could you all turn your Bibles together with me to 2 Thessalonians 1:10? Now, my translation might be a little bit different for this verse. I'm reading from the King James. But it all means the same thing. 2 Thessalonians 1:10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. This wonderful book was written between 51 and 54 AD, and the author is the Apostle Paul. Shortly after writing 1 Thessalonians, Paul received good and bad news. The good news was that the church in Thessalonica was growing and the members remained faithful. The bad news was that false teachers were telling church members that the Lord had already come, or he was coming immediately, and they could just quit their jobs and relax. After writing his first letter to the Thessalonians, stressing the imminent return of Jesus Christ, Paul found that these young converts had mistaken imminence for immediate. Something seemed to think that the Christ would return before Paul died. To make matters worse, some false teachers and a forged letter said that Christ had already returned and they had missed it. Paul writes 2 Thessalonians to explain that Christ's return would be suddenly, but not necessarily immediately. 1 Thessalonians shows us how Christ will come. 2 Thessalonians tells us why he's going to return. Jesus is coming to help us. He is coming to heal us. He is coming to completely fill us with his joy and love and make us like himself. Our first point is the time of Christ's return, when he shall come in that day. 2 Thessalonians 1:10. Paul knew that neither he, nor the church members, nor even the false prophets could predict the time of the Lord's return. Matthew 24:36 tells us, "No one knows when that day or hour will come. Therefore, we should make sure that our spiritual lives are always ready for the Lord's return." Many years ago, the well-known evangelist D.L. Moody, the founder of Moody Bible Institute, where Pastor Bruce and Faith met, by the way, and studied together, D.L. Moody was holding the largest evening church service he had ever held up to that time. At the conclusion of his message, he said, "I want you to go home and think about what you heard tonight and come back next week and make a decision for the Lord." as they sang the closing hymn, the roar of fire trucks could be heard outside the church doors. The great Chicago fire had begun. The next morning, much of the city lay in ashes. And if you go to Chicago, you'll notice that now, because of city ordinance, almost all the buildings are made out of brick. Much of the city lay in ashes. Many people had perished. After that, Moody vowed never again to tell people to wait to make a decision about God's love. A second point is the blessing of Christ's return. 2 Thessalonians 1:10. Saints, them that believe. Saints literally means holy ones. Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins and to give us the free gift of eternal life. All we have to do is accept his free gift. It's sort of like Christmas. There's presents under the tree, but until we look at the tags and pass them out and open them, as far as we know, they belong to the tree. But Jesus wants to give us that free gift of eternal life. Our job is to receive it. We can become members of God's family. We can become his children. All we have, and then, after that, we grow in God's love. We begin to love God and each other more and more each day. And you know, I've really seen that love reflected at the Central Congregational Church. The folks here really reflect God's love. They really love each other, and they all want to help. You know something? Lately, I've noticed that reflection is really bright among our young people. It's so exciting to see when Evan works with the young people and they perform their various good deeds or ministries, if you want to call them that. I've seen them participate in so many ways. And they even come up to you and say, how can we help? They want to help the church and their families and the communities like I've never seen before. They really reflect God's love. I really, really, really noticed this during Vacation Bible School. I was watching the wonderful care that our young people were providing for the younger children of our church. It was so exciting to see. I like to think of our young people as good deeds looking for a place to happen. Now, in the Bible, it talks about when Jesus returns, it says to be admired. But when the Bible is translated into our King James Version, admired did not mean then what it means today. Back then, admired meant to wonder at. The Greek word that Paul used meant to hold in admiration or to marvel at. We will all admire and marvel at the Lord when he returns. And the unbelieving world will marvel at the saints of God at the second advent. Perhaps they'll marvel at the number of saints, a number which no man can number. Perhaps they'll marvel at the jewel-like quality and rarity of the saints. When he cometh, to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, bright gems for his crown. Our fourth point is the encouragement of Jesus' return, because our testimony among you is believed. 2 Thessalonians 1:10. When we think of Christ's return, we'll be encouraged to keep on teaching Sunday school, Awana, Junior Church, Vacation Bible School, or whatever other ministry that God has given to us. We'll be encouraged to keep on praying and sharing the message of God's great love. And we want everyone to experience the joy of being a child of God. Mitch Glazer is a friend of mine. He was my Bible college roommate many, many years ago. And when he's younger, he was teaching at a camp. And he was going through many, many difficult struggles. One night, he hiked out to the main road to a payphone, probably to call his parents and talk things over. While he was at that payphone, he saw a Bible. He picked up the Bible. He brought it back to camp. He read the whole thing, and he accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. From then, Mitch went on to study theology, and eventually today, he's head of Chosen People Ministries, a worldwide Christian organization that even our church supports. All because someone strategically placed a Bible in a phone booth. Now, you might be hard-pressed to find a phone booth today, but you can strategically place a Bible or a Gospel of John, as Pastor Ken has shared with us, in a strategic location. Now, many people have asked me, why doesn't the Lord return right now? The world's a mess. Why doesn't he come and just fix it now? Henrietta Mears said that the Lord's delay gives us opportunities. Opportunities for what? Well, first of all, to be loyal to God. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. To evangelize the world. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. To pray for his servants. 2 Thessalonians 3:1-2. To wait patiently for him. 2 Thessalonians 3:15. And finally, to live a holy life. 2 Thessalonians 3:6 through 14. Now, each year, I look forward to bringing our grandchildren to Storyland in Glen, New Hampshire. It's a family tradition. Since the open, my dad took us when we were little. I took my children. And now we take our grandchildren, even the really big ones. And it's so nice that they enjoy helping the little ones with the rides and other activities. And the Storyland, the first section, is about children's stories and nursery rhymes. And one of their favorite stops is Humpty Dumpty. Remember Humpty Dumpty? Great big egg, little tiny arms, little tiny feet. And the story goes, Humpty Dumpty sat in a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. Well, I did some research because I'm looking for a happy ending. I found it in Christian literature. There's a Christian version of Humpty Dumpty. Who would have known? Humpty Dumpty sat in a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. But the king could. Are you or someone dear to you feeling shattered or broken today? Remember, no one is hopeless and beyond God's saving help. Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. When the broken pieces of life seem beyond hope of repair, don't give up. We have a king who can put people back together again. Let's hear that verse again. Matthew 19:26. With God, all things are possible. The good news is that Jesus is returning, and he's going to make all things right. A song by Bill Gaither tells us, something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life. Remember, no one is hopeless whose hope is in God. No one is hopeless whose hope is in God. A pastor from our area recently went to the Boston Public Library to work in a sermon, and he had done this before. Unfortunately, this time, the doors were locked. They were late in opening. After a few minutes, he went over the window and he peered in. No one was coming, but he saw a sign that he had never spotted before. The sign said, free for all. Free for all. All the residents of Massachusetts are welcome to use the Boston Public Library free of charge. And the wheels started spinning in his mind. He said, you know, that's true of eternal life. It's free for all to anyone that will believe. If you go to the Boston Public Library, they'll let you borrow books. They'll let you use the facilities free of charge. But you got to go there. In the same way, God wants to give each and every one of us eternal life. But we have to receive him into our heart. And we can do that right now. Why don't we do that right this minute? Let's pray and ask Jesus to forgive our sins come into our hearts and make us members of his family. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Please forgive my sins, come into my heart, and make me a member of your family. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.